السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله،
اللهم
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق يظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا، وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا ثوابا، هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا، واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
What is our legacy? The legacy that we are going to leave behind us. We should think about this. We should think seriously that one day we have to leave. No one is going to stay here forever. Each and every one of us has a date of departure. And that date has been booked for him or her. And we have to think how people are going to remember us, how our obituaries are going to be written after us. This is something that we decide. They don't decide this. No one decides that for us. How people are going to remember you. They're going to remember you, say, he was a hard-working person, he was a contributor, he was a builder, he was an optimist who built his family, his community, his country, he was an asset to his community. Or they say, no, alhamdulillah, he was good at eating, mashallah, he loved food. You know, sometimes I go to funerals, and a relative comes and speaks about his dad, his uncle. Well, he loved this and that food. He loved this and that music. Who doesn't like food? Who doesn't like music? You have to be outstanding. You have to be different than animals. We are not animals. Animals also, they love food. They love drink. They love rest. They love to have a shade above their head. We are not animals, we are not behemoth. We are human beings. We can build societies and generations. We can influence, we can teach, we can move our communities. So it depends on us. Some people, they leave bad legacy, evil legacy. Some people, they leave good legacy, virtuous one, good ether. So when they die, they are remembered with goodness. They are remembered with mercy. People recite Fatiha for them whenever they remember them. Look at yourself. Sometimes, you know, many people who died, some of them are family members, some of them are friends, non-family members. But you don't recite Fatiha when you are by yourself for everyone. You only recite the Fatiha for the special ones who had an impact on you, who you really miss them. Some people, you don't miss them. You don't miss them. They are gone. with God. God is taking care of them. But others, they are missed, dearly missed. You feel they are missed in your life, in your community. Those people, you recite Fatiha for them. You say, I missed it. I wish he lived another 10 years, another 20 years. Because all what he or she were doing are acts of goodness and inspiration. This is the right legacy. Legacies are different. Some people, they leave this life and they leave a financial mess behind them. They bequeath their families and their children financial mess. They have debt, they have loans, they have taken several equity loans on their properties, and now the children, the family, the wife, the husband has to take care of that. Financial mess. Some of them, they live social mess. They were source of tension. Whenever they enter a house, whenever they enter a neighborhood, they become a source of division and tension. This is their legacy. Some of them, when it comes to the fikr and ilm, they are source of tension because of their books. You know, there are some books that are written 700 years ago. 700 years ago, written by an irresponsible, non-God-fearing author that is causing bloodshed and mayhem and killing now, right now. People look at these books. It gives them passport and permission to kill. I don't want to mention names. He wrote a book. He's now being barbecued in Jahannam, inshallah. People read his books after 700 years. People come and read his books and they consider him to be Shaykhul Islam, Fulan and Fulan. They follow his blindness and they kill, they murder. They kill and murder. He left an evil legacy. That person left an evil legacy. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man sanna sunnatan sayyi'ah." Man sanna sunnatan sayyi'ah. Whoever leaves a bad, evil legacy, falahu wuzruha, fa'alayhi wuzruha, wa wuzru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah. He bears the sin of what he left, and every person who follows him in that bad legacy and gets influenced by him, he is going to get the sins of others who would commit crimes after him. On the other hand, those who leave good legacy, whether intellectual legacy, good books, good lectures, good behavior, or to their community. He built something for the community. Sadaqa Jariya that is going to benefit the entire city, the entire neighborhood, they're going to benefit from that. They again are going to draw the benefit from that till the day of judgment. So look at how you want to leave, what legacy you want to leave behind. What legacy? It's very important. Some people start thinking about their will, writing a will and doing wasiyah when they are on deathbed. This is too late, my friends. Believe me. When you are on deathbed, number one, your reason is not perfect. You are in pain. You are in fear. You are in a state of anxiety, sometimes depression, sometimes sadness. So you don't know what you are talking about. It's too late. And besides, some people do not take you serious. When you are on deathbed, it happened to me. I go to someone, he's going to die soon. He tells me, do this, do that. I say, how can I take him serious? His family are not going to take him serious. We can't. You have to plan for your legacy when you are still young, when you are still healthy. Plan. Because death, no one can escape death. Even if we are the healthiest and the strongest, death is coming after us without warning. So we have to plan for the legacy. You have to plan for how do you want, if you leave wealth behind. Sometimes the wealth is material, sometimes it's intellectual, sometimes it is social. Your influence. You have respect in your community and your influence on the community, this is a social legacy. You have to plan how do you want to distribute that. How do you want people to benefit from that legacy? Some people only think about their kids. I need this money, this property, these lands, these... He's not enjoying them now. He's living in one small house and he owns lots of properties. And when you ask him, why don't you help the... No, I need them for my kids. You know what Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says about this? He says, if you leave your wealth for your kids, you have two options, two ways. One is that your children are virtuous. They are God-fearing. Leaving wealth, a huge amount of wealth for them, is not going to work for them because Allah will take care of them. If they are virtuous, they are smart, they are hardworking, you should not fear for them. You should not fear for their future. Yeah, you may leave something for them, but don't give all your wealth because they are working. They are smart. Allah will take care of them. Allah would never neglect your children. Don't fear. If your children are virtuous, Allah is more worried about them than you. He will take care of them. He will not abandon them. And if your children are non-virtuous, non-grateful to God, non-thankful, why do you want to take care of people who are not grateful? Do you want to give your money to someone who's going to abuse that money? Who's going to gamble with that money? Who's going to bring deviation and destruction to himself and his community with that money? Don't do that. Don't do that. Some parents, they want their children to be millionaires. But not always being a millionaire good for you. Sometimes being a millionaire is very bad and very dangerous for some people who do not know how to handle their wealth. I've seen some people when they were not millionaires, they were very good, contributing, very healthy, mentally healthy. The moment they became millionaires, they lost their mind. They lost their focus. They lost the stability in their family. The first casualty of them being millionaires is the marriage. It's the marriage and the family. Most of these divorces today, they take place because of financial disagreement. Financial disagreement among the husband and the wife. So, think about what you're going to leave behind for yourself, your legacy. So you go and face God with a hand that is full of amal al-salih. The Prophet ﷺ says the legacies are of three. The legacy that you can draw on it and benefit from it after death, they are three items. Number one, ilmun yantafi'u bihin nas, knowledge, service to humanity. You leave knowledge, you leave science, you leave something people come and learn from it, useful for them. Ilm. The second, sadaqa jariya. You build a clinic for a village, a city that is deserving. You build a school. You build a mosque to bring people together, to create unity and awareness in the community. These are examples of sadaqa jariya. And the third one, if neither ilm you have, you could not be a scholar, for instance, or a scientist, or a professor, or a teacher, or a mentor, then, and you don't have wealth, still Allah says you are still useful. You can leave something else besides ilm and wealth. You can leave someone something else which could be your legacy after your departure. And that is waladun salih, virtuous children. You raise virtuous children. You raise them well to be good example, to be leaders in the community. not to be source of disturbance. I, in this life, I see two types of children. Some of them are source of tension in their families and their communities. They are very famous. The mayor knows them. The judge, alhamdulillah, knows them. Every judge in the superior court, every cop in the street knows them. The police department knows them. The FBI knows them. Very famous. Very famous. But famous in a bad way. Some of them are virtuous. Again, people know them for their help, for their guidance, for their contribution to their communities. They bring relief, they bring smile, they bring ease, they bring mercy, they bring love. This is how we should raise our children, not to become source of tension, to bring ease and comfort to their community. So we have these three options. We have to think about how we're going to live. I end with this story, true story. I went to a city in North America. Here in North America, some time ago, I went to a city. They picked me up from the airport, and the one who was taking me to my residence, to my hotel, was pointing at some buildings on the way to the hotel. He was saying, look at this complex, look at this apartment building, look at this shopping center, look at these apartments, look at these homes. It was built by one person in this city who came to this city 30 years ago. He's a developer, immigrant. He came to this city, but he had good mind and he had will. And in every corner in this city you go, to every corner you go, you can find a trace, ether of this man. You can see a building that he built in this city. So I met the man the following day. I said to him, tell me your story. He said, say it. My story is very simple. This country gave me a lot. I am giving back as a gesture of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This country has sheltered me. I had a rough time living in other countries. I lived in other countries who did not recognize me. They didn't recognize me. They canceled my residence. They said, leave. You know, in some Gulf countries, you live 50 years there. One person can take you to the police department, police, you know, wherever, and they cancel your residence. Leave. After serving them for 50 years, they ask you to leave. This is Islam. This is the Islam of some Muslims. He said, this country sheltered me, welcomed me. I am paying back. I believe in paying back to that country. So he built homes, and he built affordable homes. Many people in that city who could not afford to rent, who could not afford to buy a house, they are owners now, owners of property. Because of one man, one person, who was not born in that country. He was naturalized citizen of that country, which is not America. The story is not in America, in Canada. But he gave so much, so much. People respect him. I saw people, Hindus, Christians, Jews, the mayor, all civic faith leaders, they respect this guy. He made a difference. Good for him. Good for him. And Allah has given him so much. Allah has given him dunya and akhirah. Let's think of our legacy. How do you want people to remember you? And how do you want, above all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive you on that day? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ. Whatever you invest, تُقَدِّم, you give in advance, من خير, of goodness, تجدوه عند الله. It will be saved for you in God's, in your account with God. تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم استغفر الله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. نسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the things that builds humans, builds them, protects them and develops them spiritually and mentally is the sadaqah, the charity offering, the charity act. Sadaqah has a big return, big impact, big influence on our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know, I created man, I know him very well. No one knows man and his desires and his perceptions and his personality more than I do. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah says, وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمًّا وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. I know that you love wealth with exceedingly. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. He knows that. He can't hide it. He says, I created you. I know you are attached to wealth. I know sometimes you devour the heritage. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمًّا. Indiscriminately you devour. You take something that does not belong to you. You take it. But Allah says there is a way for tarbiyah to fix this problem. One of these ways is to give charity. One of these ways of controlling this desire for wealth, for materialism, is to give charity. Because if you leave yourself like that, being so much attached to wealth, that is a danger. That is going to hurt you. Definitely it's going to hurt you. And you can see the impact of that hurt in your life, in your daily life. You can feel it. You can feel it in yourself. You can feel the adverse effect of it on your wife, on your husband, on your children, in your community, in your society, on your health, on your thinking. So you should not leave it like that. You should combat this. You should do something about it. To combat this materialism. Allah says you have to resist. Resistance means that you have to offer. You have to give. You have to give, especially to those who are deserving. Some of them are in your family, in your extended family. Search for them. Don't let them come to you to ask. You go to them. You take the initiative. They say the real karam, generosity, is when you take the initiative and you give. You don't wait for someone to ask you. That is not karam. This is the hadith. Because when he comes and he asks you, you are embarrassed. You give out of embarrassment, not out of generosity. Therefore, Allah says, one of the ways to resist this greed and this attachment to materialism is to give to others. This giving, the Quran says, has three results. Number one, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ O Ya Rasulullah, go to them and charge them and take from them. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, a charitable offering. صَدَقَةً. Number one, this صَدَقَةُ تُطَحِّرُهُمْ is going to cleanse them. Cleanse from what? Why the Quran is using تُطَحِّر? Because he says this materialism that you are attached to it and you love it, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا is nothing but filth. It is nothing but contamination. How to stay away from this contamination and not let this contamination contaminate you? You can use it without being contaminated when you control it. Only when you control wealth. But if you allow wealth to control you, you are contaminated. You are intoxicated with it. You have to have control over it. Once you have control over your wealth, that wealth shall not be a danger on you. It should be an element of help and growth. So when you give charity and you are attached to it, this means I'm controlling my money. I would not let the money to control me. This is a victory for you. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ. The second step, what to zakihim? Is it the same like تُطَحِّرُهُمْ? No, it's not. تُطَحِّر, to cleanse. To zaki is to purify. What's the difference between a cleansing and a purification? Cleansing is when something is contaminated. You just wash it away. You wash the contamination away. But the second step is much higher. To zaki is you evolve that thing. You start polishing it. Sometimes something is filthy or dirty. You wash away the dirt only. But the second step, when you start polishing it, this is pesky. So sadaqa is not only going to remove the filth of materialism. It's going to make us more mature, spiritually mature, mentally mature. So you can overcome problems that you face. You are grown up. You are not a child. Some people, they are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, they collapse. When they face the smallest threat, the smallest challenge, they collapse. Because they are not mentally and spiritually mature. They did not experience growth. They are growing physically, but they are not growing mentally and spiritually. This is why they collapse. Sadaqah makes you grow, makes you stronger. It makes you send the statement to your wealth that all wealth, no matter how much you are, you would not be able to control it. I'm in control. I'm in charge. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. And then the third one, the third benefit of sadaqah, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, bless them. When they bring their charity, bless them. Inna salatak. Verily, truly your blessings are a comfort for them. Believe me, my friends, people who are charitable in nature. And charity does not only mean money, huh? Sometimes charity is money, sometimes it's food. Sometimes when you put your time, you invest your time with a family, with an individual who's lost. You spend time with them. Sometimes it's nasiha. It's an act of charity. Nasiha, when you give good advice, virtuous advice, honest advice to someone, that is also charity. When you shelter someone psychologically, that someone does not need money from you. He needs a brother. He needs someone to listen to him. This is charity. So when once you give, you receive the blessings. Allah says, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. And the salat of the Prophet is continuous, not just during his lifetime, as some people think, that the Prophet is expired and dead. We in the school of Ahlul Bayt, who love the Prophet and his family, we believe that his blessings are continuous. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. This salat, what is the effect of the salat of the Prophet? إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Sometimes second, people look for tranquility with medicine, chemical medicine. Allah says, I have a spiritual medicine. Do you want comfort? Do you want ease? Do you want tranquility? Give. You receive the blessings. And the blessings of the Prophet means the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. The Prophet is the representative of God. He works on behalf of God. So brings comfort to yourself, to your life, when you contribute, when you think of others, when you are thoughtful with others. Let me conclude with this hadith of our sixth Imam, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى, حديث القدسي, Allah states, ما من شيء إلا وقد وكلت من يقبضه غيري. Everything in this universe, I delegated it to someone who does it on my behalf, who would execute that on my behalf, who would receive it on my behalf. Allah says, Allah has angels. والمدبرات أمر. Angels, they work. They are agents of God. They work on His behalf. إلا الصدقة, except صدقة, charity, act of charity, فإني أتلقفها. I am the one who receives it when you give it. I don't delegate this task to someone. فإني أتلقفها. And this is a verse in the Quran. If you want to check it out today, chapter 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 104. ألم يعلموا أن الله هو يقبل التوبة. Don't they think, your community, that it is God who accepts the repentance and من عباده ويأخذ الصدقات. And He's the one who receives the acts of charity. ويأخذ الصدقات وأن الله هو التواب الرحيم. This is how we build our community. Sometimes we forget about sadaqah. Sometimes we only think about our immediate families. We don't think about the neighbors. We don't care. Someone came last night, he broke my heart. He said, I need your books. I said, but I gave you my books. I remember I signed my books. He said, my house was burned down completely. I lost everything. I said, how long ago? He said, 2 years ago. I said, 2 years ago, and you didn't tell me? You didn't tell me? And now I discover, by accident, I discover that you lost everything. We blame ourselves. When a friend of you, someone came to the masjid, Rasulullah said to him, where is your friend? He said, Ya Rasulullah, my friend is at home. He said, why is he at home? He said, because he doesn't have something to wear. Rasulullah said to him, you know he doesn't have something to wear, and you left him? You didn't give him an extra set of dress? This is not Islam. This is not Islam. Islam is not just what we do here. Islam is not just what we do here. Islam is an act of charity, an act of goodness, an act of thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. About our friends, our neighbors, what they go through. This is real Islam. This is what makes the community, according to God, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, when you reach out to each other. But when you neglect each other, it's not خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. Definitely it would not become the best community. Tonight, our youth who are under the age of 16, they are having a session. Haj Khalid is taking care of them at 7 p.m., so I invite them to come. And inshallah, Thursday, the coming Thursday, we are commemorating the martyrdom of the daughter of the Prophet, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salatu wassalam, on Thursday, this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. Allahumma akhfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at inna allaha ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun allahumma wahhid kalimatal muslimin على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين ومن على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في ظهور قائدنا ومولانا الإمام المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.